It also repeated CIA representations related to KSM's reporting on the second wave plotting and Abu Zubaydah's reporting on Jose Padilla, both of which were inaccurate. The OLC memorandum also stated that the use of the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques had revealed plots to blow up the Brooklyn Bridge and to release mass biological agents in our nation's largest cities. Finally, the July 20, 2007 OLC memorandum asserted, based on CIA representations, that members of Congress supported the CIA interrogation program and that, by subsequently voting for the Military Commissions Act, those members effectively endorsed an interpretation of the act that would be consistent with the continued use of the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques. This interpretation of congressional intent also supported the OLC's constitutional analysis, which stated that there could be little doubt that the act reflected an endorsement from Congress that the CIA program was consistent with contemporary practice and therefore did not shock the conscience. Specifically, the OLC memorandum noted that according to CIA representations, prior to the passage of the Military Commissions Act, several members of Congress, including the full membership of the House and Senate Intelligence Committees and Senator McCain, were briefed by General Michael Hayden, director of the CIA, on the six techniques, and that in those classified and private conversations, none of the members expressed the view that the CIA interrogation program should be stopped or that the techniques at issue were inappropriate. This representation was inaccurate. For example, according to CIA records, during a briefing on September 11, 2006, Senator John McCain informed the CIA that he believed the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques, including sleep deprivation and the waterboard, were torture.
Note, 2441. Briefing for Senator John S. McCain, Republican of Arizona. Date, September 11, 2006 at 5:51 p.m. Quote, Senator McCain asked if I thought sleep deprivation was torture. I responded that I did not, and he then added that he had talked with a Marine colonel friend of his and the colonel had indicated it was, and he believed his friend. In another exchange, the officer who briefed Senator McCain was asked about the senator's position. CIA officer redacted. So, is the senator on board? CIA officer redacted. Not totally. Redacted. If he's moved in our direction at all, you are a miracle worker. Was it painful? Redacted. Very much so. Redacted. Is the issue the EIT still? Redacted. Yep. The OLC specifically cited statements from Senator McCain that the Military Commissions Act will allow the CIA to continue interrogating prisoners within the boundaries established in the bill. The OLC did not mention that McCain had specifically objected to the use of sleep deprivation.
On September 27, 2006, Senator Dianne Feinstein, a member of the Senate Select Committee on Intelligence, wrote a letter to CIA Director Hayden stating that she was unable to understand why the CIA needs to maintain this program. On September 6, 2006, when the CIA provided its first and only briefing to the full committee on the CIA program prior to the vote on the Military Commissions Act, committee staff access was limited to the two committee staff directors. In May 2007, shortly after the CIA allowed additional committee staff to be briefed on the program, other members of the committee prepared and provided letters to Director Hayden. On May 1, 2007, Senator Russ Feingold wrote that, "I cannot support the program on moral, legal, or national security grounds." On May 11, 2007, Senators Chuck Hagel, Dianne Feinstein, and Ron Wyden wrote a letter expressing their long-standing concerns with the program and their deep discomfort with the use of EITs.
6. Review of CIA representations to the Congress. A. After memorandum of notification, the CIA disavows torture and assures the committee will be notified of every individual detained by the CIA. Following the September 11, 2001 terrorist attacks and the signing of the September 17, 2001 Memorandum of Notification, MON, the Senate Select Committee on Intelligence, the committee, held a series of hearings and briefings on CIA covert actions, including the new authority to detain terrorists. At a November 13, 2001 briefing for committee staff, redacted, CTC Legal, redacted, described the CIA's new detention authorities as terrifying and expressed the CIA's intent to find a cadre of people who know how to run prisons because we don't. Deputy Director of Operations, DDO, James Pavitt, assured the committee that it would be informed of each individual who entered CIA custody. Pavitt disavowed the use of torture against detainees while stating that the boundaries on the use of interrogation techniques were uncertain, specifically in the case of having to identify the location of a hidden nuclear weapon. In meetings with the CIA in February 2002, the month before the capture and detention of Abu Zubaydah, committee staff expressed concern about the lack of any legal review of the CIA's new detention authorities. Redacted noted that the discussion of committee staff was the only peer review the CIA lawyers had engaged in with regard to the MON authorities, and that the discussion helped refine the CIA's understanding of what MON-authorized activity was in fact legally permissible and appropriate. B. The CIA notifies committee of the detention of Abu Zubaydah, but makes no reference to coercive interrogation techniques. The CIA briefs chairman and vice chairman after the use of the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques. The CIA discusses strategy to avoid the chairman's request for more information. On April 18, 2002, the CIA informed the committee that it has no current plans to develop a detention facility. At the time of this representation, the CIA had already established a CIA detention site in country redacted and detained Abu Zubaydah there. On April 24, 2002, the CIA notified the committee about the capture of Abu Zubaydah with the understanding that the location of Abu Zubaydah's detention was among the red lines not to be divulged to the committee. The notification and subsequent information provided to the committee included representations that Abu Zubaydah was a member of bin Laden's inner circle and a key al-Qaeda lieutenant. These representations were inaccurate. Briefings to the committee in the spring of 2002 emphasized the expertise of FBI and CIA interrogators engaged in the Abu Zubaydah interrogations and provided no indication that coercive techniques were being used or considered, and that there was significant disagreement between the CIA and the FBI on proposed interrogation approaches. In early August 2002, after the Department of Justice determined that the use of the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques on Abu Zubaydah would be legal, the CIA considered briefing the committee on the CIA's interrogation techniques, but did not. In early September 2002, the CIA briefed the House Permanent Select Committee on Intelligence, HPSCI, leadership about the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques. 2 days after, the CIA's redacted CTC Legal redacted excised from a draft memorandum memorializing the briefing indications that the HPSCI leadership questioned the legality of the program by deleting the sentence, HPSCI attendees also questioned the legality of these techniques if other countries would use them. After redacted, blind copied Jose Rodriguez on the email in which he transmitted the changes to the memorandum, Rodriguez responded to redacted's email with, short and sweet. The first briefing for Senate Select Committee on Intelligence Chairman Bob Graham and Vice Chairman Richard Shelby and their staff directors occurred on September 27, 2002, nearly 2 months after the CIA first began subjecting Abu Zubaydah to the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques. The only record of the briefing is a one-paragraph CIA memorandum stating that the briefing occurred. The committee does not have its own records of this briefing. Shortly thereafter, in late 2002, Chairman Graham sought to expand committee oversight of the CIA's detention and interrogation program, including by having committee staff visit CIA interrogation sites and interview CIA interrogators. The CIA rejected this request. An internal CIA email from Redacted CTC Legal, Redacted, indicated that the full committee would not be told about the nature and scope of the interrogation process, and that even the chairman and vice chairman would not be told in which country or region the CIA had established its detention facilities. Other emails describe efforts by the CIA to identify a strategy for limiting the CIA's responses to Chairman Graham's requests for more information on the CIA's detention and interrogation program, specifically seeking a way to get off the hook on the cheap. The CIA eventually chose to delay its next update for the committee leadership on the CIA's program until after Graham had left the committee. At the same time, the CIA rejected a request for the committee staff to be read in and provided with a briefing on the CIA program. C. No detailed records exist of CIA briefings of committee leadership. The CIA declines to answer questions from committee members or provide requested materials. On February 4, 2003, the CIA briefed the new chairman, Senator Pat Roberts, and the two staff directors. Vice Chairman John D. Rockefeller IV was not present. The only record of the briefing, a two-page CIA memorandum, states that CIA officers described in great detail the importance of the information provided by Abu Zubaydah and Abed al-Rahim al-Nashiri, both of whom had information on ongoing terrorist operations, information that might well have saved American lives, the difficulty of getting that information from them, and the importance of the enhanced techniques in getting that information. As described in this summary and in greater detail in the full committee study, Abu Zubaydah and al-Nashiri did not provide actionable intelligence on ongoing plotting and provided significant reporting prior to the use of the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques. The CIA declined to provide information pursuant to a request from Chairman Roberts on the location of the CIA's detention site. Finally, the CIA memorandum states that Chairman Roberts gave his assent to the destruction of interrogation videotapes. However, this account in the CIA memorandum was later disputed by Chairman Roberts. The committee has no independent record of this briefing. Throughout 2003, the CIA refused to answer questions from committee members and staff about the CIA interrogations of KSM and other CIA detainees. The CIA produced talking points for a September 4, 2003 briefing on the CIA interrogation program, exclusively for committee leadership. However, there were no contemporaneous records of the briefing taking place. The CIA talking points include information about the use of the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques, their effectiveness, and the various abuses that occurred in the program. Many of the CIA representations in the talking points were inaccurate. The CIA continued to withhold from the committee, including its leadership, any information on the location of the CIA's detention facilities. On more than one occasion, the CIA directed CIA personnel at Guantanamo Bay, Cuba, not to brief a visiting committee member about the CIA detention facility there, including during a July 2005 visit by Chairman Roberts. In 2004, the committee conducted two hearings on the CIA's role in interrogating U.S. military detainees in Abu Ghraib prison in Iraq. CIA witnesses stressed that the CIA was more limited in its interrogation authorities than the Department of Defense, but declined to respond to committee questions about the interrogation of KSM or press reports on CIA detention facilities. During the first briefing on May 12, 2004, committee members requested Department of Justice memoranda addressing the legality of CIA interrogations. Despite repeated subsequent requests, limited access to the memoranda was not granted until 4 years later, in June 2008, by which time the CIA was no longer detaining individuals. While the CIA continued to brief the committee leadership on aspects of the CIA's detention and interrogation program, there are no transcripts of these briefings. One briefing, on July 15, 2004, discussed the detention of Janat Gul. An email from Redacted, CTC Legal, stated that the only reason the chairman and vice chairman were informed of the detention of Janat Gul was that the notification could serve as the vehicle for briefing the committees on our need for renewed legal and policy support for the CIA's detention and interrogation program. At the July 2004 briefing, the minority staff director requested full committee briefings and expanded committee oversight, including visits to the CIA detention sites and interviews with interrogators. Efforts that had been sought by former Chairman Graham years earlier. This request was denied. D. Vice Chairman Rockefeller seeks committee investigation. On February 3, 2005, Vice Chairman Rockefeller began a formal effort to conduct a comprehensive committee investigation of the CIA's detention, interrogation, and rendition activities, including a review of the legality and effectiveness of CIA interrogations. On March 3, 2005, a CIA official wrote that Vice Chairman Rockefeller was convinced that we're hiding stuff from him and that the CIA had planned a detailed briefing to shut Rockefeller up. The only committee records of this briefing, which took place on March 7, 2005, are handwritten notes written by Vice Chairman Rockefeller and the Minority Staff Director. Shortly after this briefing, the Vice Chairman reiterated his call for a broad committee investigation of the CIA's detention and interrogation program, which he and the ranking member of the HPSCI, Jane Harman, described in a letter to Vice President Cheney. There is no committee record of a response to the letter. On April 13, 2005, the day before an anticipated committee vote on the chairman's proposed investigation of the CIA program, the chief of ALEC station, redacted, and the deputy chief of CTC, Philip Mudd, discussed a press strategy to shape public and congressional views of the program. As previously detailed, Mudd wrote, "We either get out and sell, or we get hammered, which has implications beyond the media. Congress reads it, cuts our authorities, messes up our budget. We need to make sure the impression of what we do is positive."
Note 2477. Same time communication between John P. Mudd and Redacted, April 13, 2005, from 1923-50 to 1956-05.
The next day, CIA Inspector General John Helgerson briefed several members of the committee on limited aspects of the CIA's detention and interrogation program. According to Helgerson, Chairman Roberts' motive was to have a presentation that made clear that the CIA IG is looking at all appropriate detention and interrogation issues, as he told me privately beforehand the committee will be voting today on whether to launch their own inquiry. Helgerson added that Roberts said, "I know how that vote is going to come out, but I want the minority to go away knowing this is in good hands." The proposed investigation was not approved by the committee. The committee nonetheless subsequently approved legislation requiring CIA reports on renditions and plans for the disposition of high-value CIA detainees, as well as requesting expanded committee staff access to the program beyond the committee staff directors. In addition, Vice Chairman Rockefeller requested full committee access to over 100 documents related to the May 2004 Inspector General Special Review. On January 5, 2006, after multiple rounds of negotiations with the CIA for the documents, the Chief of Staff to Director of National Intelligence, John Negroponte, wrote a letter rejecting the request. The letter had been prepared by the former redacted CTC Legal, redacted, who was by then serving as a CIA detailee in the Office of the Director of National Intelligence. E. In response to Detainee Treatment Act, the CIA briefed senators not on the committee. Proposal from Senator Levin for an independent commission prompts renewed calls within the CIA to destroy interrogation videotapes. In October and November 2005, after the Senate passed its version of the Detainee Treatment Act, the CIA, directed by the Office of the Vice President, briefed specific Republican senators who were not on the Select Committee on Intelligence on the CIA's detention and interrogation program. The full membership of the committee had not yet been briefed on the CIA interrogation program. The briefings, which were intended to influence conference negotiations, were provided to Senator McCain, Senators Ted Stevens and Thad Cochran, the chairman of the Appropriations Committee and Defense Appropriations Subcommittee, Majority Leader Bill Frist, and Senator John Cornyn. CIA records state that Cornyn was not briefed on the CIA's specific interrogation techniques. Meanwhile, a proposal from Senator Carl Levin to establish an independent commission to investigate U.S. detainee policies and allegations of detainee abuse resulted in concern at the CIA that such a commission would lead to the discovery of videotapes documenting CIA interrogations. That concern prompted renewed interest at the CIA to destroy the videotapes. Senator Levin's amendment to establish the commission failed on November 8, 2005. The CIA destroyed the CIA interrogation videotapes the following day.
Note 2488. On October 31, 2005, John Rizzo wrote an email stating that Senator Levin's legislative proposal for a 9/11-type outside commission to be established on detainees seems to be gaining some traction, which obviously would serve to surface the tape's existence. Rizzo then added that, "I think I need to be the skunk at the party again and see if the director is willing to let us try one more time to get the right people downtown on board with the notion of our destroying the tapes." Redacted, a senior CIA attorney who had viewed the videotapes, responded, "You are correct. The sooner we resolve this, the better." Redacted CTC Legal Redacted also agreed that approaching the DCIA is a good idea, adding, "Commissions tend to make very broad document production demands, which might call for these videotapes that should have been destroyed in the normal course of business 2 years ago."
F. CIA Director Goss seeks committee support for the program after the Detainee Treatment Act. CIA declines to answer questions for the record. In March 2006, 3 months after passage of the Detainee Treatment Act, the CIA provided a briefing for five committee staffers that included limited information on the interrogation process, as well as the effectiveness of the CIA interrogation program.
Note 2491. A review of the committee record of this briefing indicates much of the information provided by the CIA was inaccurate. For example, according to the committee's memorandum for the record, CIA briefers stated, "The plan divorces questioning from coercive measures." CIA records indicate, however, that questioning and the use of the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques were combined in practice. According to committee records, CIA officials stated that Khalid al-Masri had and maintained connections to al-Qaeda and that he was released when the CIA reached a point in debriefings that required foreign government assistance, which was not forthcoming. The CIA Inspector General would later determine that when CIA officers questioned al-Masri, they quickly concluded that he was not a terrorist and that there was insufficient basis to render and detain al-Masri. CIA officers referenced the captures of Hambali, Sajid Badat, Jose Padilla, and Ayman Faris, as well as the disruption of the West Coast/Second Wave plotting, the Heathrow Airport plotting, and the Karachi plotting. As detailed in this summary, the CIA consistently provided inaccurate representations regarding the plotting and the capture of the referenced individuals. CIA briefers also compared the program to U.S. military custody, stating that the CIA can bring far more resources, debriefers, analysts, psychologists, etc., per detainee than is possible at large-scale facilities such as Guantanamo Bay, Cuba. As described, the chief of base at Detention Site Black complained of problem, underperforming, and totally inexperienced debriefers almost a year prior to this briefing. As further described, an Inspector General audit completed 3 months after the briefing described the lack of debriefers at CIA detention facilities as an ongoing problem.
The briefings did not include information on the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques or the location of CIA detention sites. A week later, on March 15, 2006, CIA Director Porter Goss briefed the full committee on CIA detention matters but did not provide the locations of the CIA's detention facilities or a list or briefing on the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques.
Note, 2493. By the time of the briefing, press disclosures had resulted in widespread public discussion about some of the CIA's reported enhanced interrogation techniques, including the waterboard. Goss was thus asked by a member of the committee whether the CIA had undertaken a technique-by-technique analysis of the effectiveness of the program. Goss responded that the problem with such an analysis is that the techniques were used in combination. Asked by the member for a comparison of waterboarding versus sleep deprivation, Goss responded that waterboarding is not used in conjunction with anything else. As detailed elsewhere, this testimony was inaccurate. Goss then referred to sleep deprivation, dietary manipulation, and environment control as alleged techniques.
At this hearing, Director Goss explained to the committee that we cannot do it by ourselves and that we need to have the support of our oversight committee. Goss then described challenges to the CIA's detention and interrogation program as a result of the Detainee Treatment Act, as well as strained relations with countries hosting CIA detention sites after significant press revelations. Director Goss described the program as follows. This program has brought us incredible information. It's a program that could continue to bring us incredible information. It's a program that could continue to operate in a very professional way. It's a program that I think, if you saw how it's operated, you would agree that you would be proud that it's done right and well with proper safeguards. Contrasting the CIA program to the abuse of prisoners in U.S. military detention at the Abu Ghraib prison in Iraq, Director Goss stated that the CIA program is a professionally operated program that we operate uniquely. We are not talking military, and I'm not talking about anything that a contractor might have done in a prison somewhere or beat somebody or hit somebody with a stick or something. That's not what this is about. Addressing CIA interrogations, Director Goss testified that we only bring in certain selected people that we think give us intelligence information and we treat them in certain specific ways, such that they basically become psychologically disadvantaged to their interrogator, explaining that the key to a successful interrogation was getting a better psychological profile and knowing what makes someone tick, Director Goss stated. Just the simplest thing will work, a family photograph or something. Goss then represented that the CIA's interrogation program is not a brutality. It's more of an art or a science that is refined. After that hearing, the committee submitted official questions for the record related to the history, legality, and the effectiveness of the CIA's detention and interrogation program. The CIA did not respond. In May 2006, the committee approved legislation requiring the CIA to provide reports on the CIA's detention facilities, including their locations, the CIA's interrogation techniques, the impact of the Detainee Treatment Act on the CIA program, CIA renditions, and the CIA's plans for the disposition of its detainees. The legislation also called for the full committee access to the CIA May 2004 Inspector General Special Review, as well as expanded member and committee staff access to information on the CIA's detention and interrogation program. In July 2006, the new CIA director, General Michael Hayden, provided a briefing for the chairman and vice chairman in which he described the Detainee Treatment Act as a safe haven that potentially permitted the CIA to use its enhanced interrogation techniques. G. Full committee first briefed on the CIA's interrogation program hours before it is publicly acknowledged on September 6, 2006. On September 6, 2006, President Bush publicly acknowledged the CIA program and the transfer of 14 CIA detainees to U.S. military custody at Guantanamo Bay, Cuba. Hours prior to the announcement, CIA Director Hayden provided the first briefing on the CIA's enhanced interrogation program for all members of the committee, although the CIA limited staff attendance to the committee's two staff directors. Due to the impending public acknowledgement of the program, the briefing was abbreviated. At the briefing, the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques were listed but not described. Director Hayden stated that the techniques were developed at the Department of Defense SEER School and were used against American service personnel during their training. He testified that once a detainee gets into the situation of sustained cooperation, debriefings are not significantly different than what you and I are doing right now. Hayden sought legislative assistance in interpreting Common Article 3, stated that he had not asked for an opinion from the Department of Justice, and represented he had been informed informally that 7 interrogation techniques are viewed by the Department of Justice to be consistent with the requirements of the Detainee Treatment Act. Director Hayden declined to identify the locations of the CIA's detention facilities to the members and stated that he personally had recommended not expanding committee staff access beyond the 2 staff directors already briefed on the CIA's detention and interrogation program. There are no other committee briefings or hearings on the CIA's detention and interrogation program prior to the Senate's September 28, 2006 vote on the Military Commissions Act. As described, the Department of Justice later concluded that the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques were consistent with the Military Commissions Act in part because, according to the CIA, none of the members briefed on the CIA program expressed the view that the CIA interrogation program should be stopped or that the techniques at issue were inappropriate. However, prior to the vote, Senator McCain, who had been briefed on the CIA program, told CIA officials that he could not support the program and that sleep deprivation, one of the interrogation techniques still included in the program, as well as waterboarding, were torture. Members of the committee also expressed their views in classified letters to the CIA. Senator Dianne Feinstein informed the CIA that Hayden's testimony on the CIA program was extraordinarily problematic, and that she was unable to understand why the CIA needs to maintain this program. In May 2007, shortly after additional committee staff gained access to the program, Senator Russ Feingold expressed his opposition to the program, while Senators Feinstein, Ron Wyden, and Chuck Hagel described their concerns about the CIA program and their deep discomfort with the use of the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques. On November 16, 2006, CIA Director Hayden briefed the committee. The briefing included inaccurate information, including on the CIA's use of dietary manipulation and nudity, as well as the effects of sleep deprivation.
Note 2510. Director Hayden testified that detainees were never provided fewer than 1,000 calories a day. This is inaccurate. There were no calorie requirements until May 2004, and draft OMS guidelines from March 2003 indicated that brief periods in which food is withheld, 1 to 2 days, as an adjunct to interrogations, are acceptable. Director Hayden testified that detainees were not paraded nude in front of anyone, whereas a CIA interrogator told the inspector general that nude detainees were kept in a center area outside the interrogation room and were walked around by guards. Redacted testified that standing sleep deprivation is discontinued when swelling or any abnormality appears. This was inaccurate. For example, KSM standing sleep deprivation continued, notwithstanding pedal edema and abrasions on his ankles, shins, and wrists, as well as the back of his head. Director Hayden testified that mental conditions that would be of normal concern do not present themselves until a person has experienced more than 100 hours of sleep deprivation. However, at least 3 detainees experienced hallucinations after being subjected to fewer than 96 hours of sleep deprivation.
Before speaking about the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques, however, Director Hayden asked to brief the committee on the recent capture of the CIA's newest detainee, Abdul Hadi al-Iraqi, who was not subjected to the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques. Vice Chairman Rockefeller and 2 other members of the committee expressed frustration at the briefing that Director Hayden's description of Hadi al-Iraqi's capture was preventing what was expected to be an in-depth discussion of the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques. On February 14, 2007, during a hearing on CIA renditions, Director Hayden provided inaccurate information to the committee to include inaccurate information on the number of detainees held by the CIA. Redacted, the deputy chief of the Redacted Department in CDC, and the previous deputy chief of Alex Station provided examples of information obtained from the CIA detention and interrogation program. After providing the examples, Redacted closed her testimony with the statement that "there's no question in my mind that having that detainee information has saved hundreds, conservatively speaking, of American lives." On March 15, 2007, in a speech to a gathering of ambassadors to the United States from the countries of the European Union, Director Hayden stated that congressional support for the CIA's detention and interrogation program assured the continuity of the program. I mentioned earlier that it would be unwise to assume that there will be a dramatic change in the American approach to the war on terror in 2009. CIA got the legislation it needed to continue this program in the Military Commissions Act passed by our Congress last fall. And let me remind you that every member of our intelligence committees, House and Senate, Republican and Democrat, is now fully briefed on the detention and interrogation program. This is not CIA's program. This is not the president's program. This is America's program. H. The CIA provides additional information to the full committee and staff, much of it inaccurate. Intelligence Authorization Act passes, limiting CIA interrogations to techniques authorized by the Army Field Manual. On April 12, 2007, CIA Director Hayden testified at a lengthy hearing that was attended by all but one committee member, and for the first time, the CIA allowed most of the committee's staff to attend. The members stated that the committee was still seeking access to CIA documents and information on the CIA's detention and interrogation program, including Department of Justice memoranda and the location of the CIA's detention facilities. Director Hayden's statement for the record included extensive inaccurate information with regard to Abu Zubaydah, CIA interrogators, abuses identified by the ICRC, and the effectiveness of the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques.
Note 2516. For example, the statement for the record claimed that Abu Zubaydah was an up-and-coming lieutenant of Osama bin Laden who had intimate knowledge of al-Qaeda's current operations, personnel, and plans. It also stated that after the use of these techniques, Abu Zubaydah became one of our most important sources of intelligence on al-Qaeda, and he himself has stated that he would not have been responsive or told us all he did had he not gone through those techniques. The statement claimed that CIA interrogators were carefully chosen and screened for demonstrated professional judgment and maturity, and that they must complete more than 250 hours of specialized training before they are allowed to come face-to-face with a terrorist. Claims made in the statement refuting the abuses identified by the ICRC were repeated by Director Hayden during the hearing and are described in an appendix to this summary. The statement for the record also included inaccurate information about past congressional oversight, claiming that as CIA's efforts to implement new interrogation authorities got underway in 2002, the majority and minority leaders of the Senate, the Speaker, and the minority leader of the House, and the chairs and ranking members of the intelligence committees were fully briefed on the interrogation program.
Director Hayden's statement for the record also listed 5 examples of captures and 4 examples of plots thwarted, purportedly resulting from information acquired from CIA detainees, all of which included significant inaccurate information. Director Hayden's statement for the record further included the following representation with regard to the effects of legislation that would limit interrogations to techniques authorized by the Army Field Manual. The CIA program has proven to be effective. Should our techniques be limited to the Army Field Manual, we are left with very little offense and are relegated to rely primarily on defense. Without the approval of EITs, we have severely restricted our attempts to obtain timely information from HVDs, who possess information that will help us save lives and disrupt operations. Limiting our interrogation tools to those detailed in the Army Field Manual will increase the probability that a determined, resilient HVD will be able to withhold critical, time-sensitive, actionable intelligence that could prevent an imminent, catastrophic attack. At the April 12, 2007 hearing, Director Hayden verbally provided extensive, inaccurate information on, among other topics, 1, the interrogation of Abu Zubaydah, 2, the application of Department of Defense Survival School practices to the program, 3, detainees' counterinterrogation training, 4, the backgrounds of CIA interrogators, 5, the role of other members of the interrogation teams, 6, the number of CIA detainees and their intelligence production, 7, the role of CIA detainee reporting in the captures of terrorist suspects. 8. The interrogation process. 9. The use of detainee reporting. 10. The purported relationship between Islam and the need to use the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques. 11. Threats against detainees' families. 12. The punching and kicking of detainees. 13. Detainee hygiene. 14. Denial of medical care. 15. Dietary manipulation. 16. The use of waterboarding and its effectiveness. And 17. The injury and death of detainees. In addition, the chief of CTC's redacted department provided inaccurate information on the CIA's use of stress positions, while acting general counsel John Rizzo provided inaccurate information on the legal reasons for establishing CIA detention facilities overseas. A detailed comparison of Director Hayden's testimony and information in CIA records related to the program is included in an appendix to this summary. In responses to official committee questions for the record, the CIA provided inaccurate information related to detainees transferred from U.S. military to CIA custody. The committee also requested a timeline connecting intelligence reporting obtained from CIA detainees to the use of CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques. The CIA declined to provide such a timeline, writing that the value of each intelligence report stands alone, whether it is collected before, during, immediately after, or significantly after the use of the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques. In May 2007, the committee voted to approve the fiscal year 2008 Intelligence Authorization Bill, which required reporting on CIA compliance with the Detainee Treatment Act and Military Commissions Act. In September 2007, John Rizzo withdrew his nomination to be CIA General Counsel amid committee concerns related to his role in the CIA's detention and interrogation program. On August 2, 2007, the committee conducted a hearing that addressed the interrogation of Mohammed Rahim, who would be the CIA's last detainee, as well as the president's new executive order, which interpreted the Geneva Conventions in a manner to allow the CIA to use its enhanced interrogation techniques against Mohammed Rahim. At that hearing, the CIA's director of CTC, redacted, provided inaccurate information to the committee on several issues, including how the CIA conducts interrogations. Members again requested access to the Department of Justice memoranda related to the CIA program, but were denied this access.
Note 2522. For example, the director of CTC, redacted, testified that detainees are given ample opportunity to provide the information without the use of EITs. As detailed in this study, numerous detainees were subjected to the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques immediately upon being questioned.
On December 5, 2007, the Conference Committee considering the Fiscal Year 2008 Intelligence Authorization Bill voted to restrict the CIA's interrogation techniques to those authorized by the Army Field Manual. Opponents of the provision referenced Director Hayden's testimony on the effectiveness of the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques in acquiring critical information. On December 6, 2007, the New York Times revealed that the CIA had destroyed videotapes of CIA interrogations in 2005. The CIA claimed that the committee had been told about the destruction of the videotapes at a hearing in November 2006. A review of the committee's transcript of its November 16, 2006 hearing found that the CIA's claim of notification was inaccurate. In fact, CIA witnesses testified at the hearing that the CIA did not videotape interrogations, while making no mention of past videotaping or the destruction of videotapes.
Note 2527. The CIA's June 2013 response states only that, "We acknowledge that DCIA did not volunteer past information on CIA's process of videotaping interrogation sessions or of the destruction of the tapes." The committee review found that, in testimony to the committee in November 2006, CIA witnesses responded to questions about videotaping in terms of current practice while avoiding any reference to past practice. This was similar in what was conveyed in June 2003 to David Addington of the Office of the Vice President by CIA General Counsel Scott Mueller. In June 2003, the CIA's General Counsel Scott Mueller traveled to Guantanamo Bay, Cuba, with White House Counsel Alberto Gonzalez, the Vice President's Counsel David Addington, Department of Defense General Counsel Jim Haynes, Patrick Philbin from the Department of Justice, and NSC legal advisor John Bellinger. According to CIA records, during the trip, White House officials asked CIA General Counsel Mueller about the CIA Inspector General's concerns regarding the waterboard technique and whether the CIA videotaped interrogations, as David Addington had heard tapes existed of the CIA's interrogations of Abu Zubaydah. In an email to CIA colleagues providing details on the trip, Mueller wrote, "David Addington, by the way, asked me if we were taping interrogations and said he had heard that there were tapes of the Zubaydah interrogations. I told him that tapes were not being made."
At the CIA briefing to the committee on December 11, 2007, Director Hayden testified about, 1, the information provided to the White House regarding the videotapes, 2, what the tapes revealed, 3, what was not on the tapes, 4, the reasons for their destruction, 5, the legal basis for the use of the waterboard, and 6, the effectiveness of the CIA's waterboard interrogation technique. Much of this testimony was inaccurate or incomplete. Director Hayden also testified that what was on the destroyed videotapes was documented in CIA cables, and that the cables were a more than adequate representation of the tapes. Director Hayden committed the CIA to providing the committee with access to the cables. On February 5, 2008, after the House of Representatives passed the conference report limiting CIA interrogations to techniques authorized by the Army Field Manual, Director Hayden testified in an open committee hearing against the provision. Director Hayden also stated, inaccurately, that over the life of the CIA program, the CIA had detained fewer than 100 people. On February 13, 2008, the Senate passed the conference report. President vetoes legislation based on effectiveness claims provided by the CIA. CIA declines to answer committee questions for the record about the CIA interrogation program. On March 8, 2008, President Bush vetoed the Intelligence Authorization Bill. President Bush explained his decision to veto the bill in a radio broadcast that repeated CIA representations that the CIA interrogation program produced critical intelligence that prevented specific terrorist plots. As described in this summary and in greater detail in Volume 2, the statement reflected inaccurate information provided by the CIA to the President and other policymakers in CIA briefings. 3 days later, the House of Representatives failed to override the veto. On May 22, 2008, the CIA informed the committee that the vetoed legislation has had no impact on CIA policies concerning the use of EITs. As noted, CIA Director Goss had previously testified to the committee that we cannot do it by ourselves, and that we need to have the support of our Oversight Committee. As further noted, the OLC's 2007 memorandum applying the Military Commissions Act to the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques relied on the CIA's representation that none of the members expressed the view that the CIA interrogation program should be stopped or that the techniques at issue were inappropriate. In June 2008, the CIA provided information to the committee in response to a reporting requirement in the Fiscal Year 2008 Intelligence Authorization Act. The CIA response stated that all of the CIA's interrogation techniques were evaluated under the applicable U.S. law during the time of their use and were found by the Department of Justice to comply with those legal requirements. This was inaccurate. Diapers, nudity, dietary manipulation, and water dousing were used extensively by the CIA prior to any Department of Justice review. As detailed in the full committee study, the response included additional information that was incongruent with the history of the program. On June 10, 2008, the committee held a hearing on the Department of Justice memoranda relating to the CIA's detention and interrogation program, to which the committee had recently been provided limited access. At the hearing, redacted CTC Legal provided inaccurate information on several topics, including the use of sleep deprivation and its effects. Acting Assistant Attorney General Stephen Bradbury also testified, noting that the Department of Justice deferred to the CIA with regard to the effectiveness of the CIA interrogation program. The committee then submitted official questions for the record on the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques and on the effectiveness of the program, including how the CIA assessed the effectiveness of its interrogation techniques for the purposes of representations to the Department of Justice. The CIA prepared responses that included an acknowledgement that redacted CTC Legal, redacted, had provided inaccurate information with regard to the effectiveness of the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques. The prepared responses were never provided to the committee. Instead, on October 17, 2008, the CIA informed the committee that it would not respond to the committee's questions for the record and that instead, the CIA was available to provide additional briefings on this issue to members as necessary. In separate letters to Director Hayden, Chairman Rockefeller and Senator Feinstein referred to this refusal to respond to official committee questions as unprecedented and simply unacceptable and appalling.
7. CIA destruction of interrogation videotapes leads to committee investigation. Committee votes 14-1 for expansive terms of reference to study the CIA's detention and interrogation program. The committee's scrutiny of the CIA's detention and interrogation program continued through the remainder of 2008 and into the 111th Congress in 2009. On February 11, 2009, the committee held a business meeting at which committee staff presented a memorandum on the content of the CIA operational cables detailing the interrogations of Abu Zubaydah and Abd al-Rahim al-Nashiri in 2002. CIA Director Hayden had allowed a small number of committee staff to review the cables at CIA headquarters and, as noted, had testified that the cables provided a more than adequate representation of what was on the destroyed CIA interrogation videotapes. The chairman stated that the committee staff memorandum represented the most comprehensive statement on the treatment of those two detainees, from the condition of their detention and the nature of their interrogations to the intelligence produced and the thoughts of CIA officers and contractors in the field and headquarters. After the staff presentation, the vice chairman expressed his support for an expanded committee investigation, stating, "We need to compare what was briefed to us by the agency with what we find out, and we need to determine whether it was in the guidelines of the OLC, the MON, and the guidelines published by the agency. Other members of the committee added their support for an expanded investigation, with one member stating, "These are extraordinarily serious matters, and we ought to get to the bottom of it, to look at how it came to be that these techniques were used, what the legal underpinnings of these techniques were all about, and finally, what these techniques meant in terms of effectiveness." The committee held two subsequent business meetings to consider and debate the terms of the committee's proposed expanded review of the CIA's detention and interrogation program. The first, on February 24, 2009, began with bipartisan support for a draft terms of reference. The committee met again on March 5, 2009, to consider a revised terms of reference, which was approved by a vote of 14 to 1. On December 13, 2012, after a review of more than 6 million pages of records, the committee approved a 6,300-page study of the CIA's detention and interrogation program. On April 3, 2014, by a bipartisan vote of 11 to 3, the committee agreed to send the revised findings and conclusions and an updated executive summary of the committee study to the president for declassification and public release.
This is Scott Z. Burns, the writer and director of The Report, a movie from Amazon Studios. The introduction to this audiobook was written and read by the lead investigator of the Senate Torture Report, Daniel J. Jones. The body of this audiobook of the Senate Report was read by cast members from the movie The Report, including Annette Bening, John Hamm, Sarah Goldberg, Michael C. Hall, Douglas Hodge, Fajr El-Kazi, Ted Levine, Jennifer Morrison, Tim Blake Nelson, Linda Powell, Scott Shepard, T. Ryder Smith, Corey Stoll, Maura Tierney, and Joanne Tucker. This was a Topic Studios production. Executive producers for Topic Studios were Lisa Leingang and Lital Molad. Producer for Topic Studios was Jenny Bedusa. Production coordinator for Topic Studios was Jillian Sesnak. Special thanks to Lizzie Jacobs and Mike Phillips. This audiobook was directed by Steve Wagner at Beat Street, NYC. Editing and post-production by Beat Street, NYC. Thanks also to Ibeliz Reyes at Beat Street, NYC. The executive summary of the U.S. Senate Select Committee on Intelligence's Committee Study of the Central Intelligence Agency's Detention and Interrogation Program is a public document released on December 9, 2014, with redactions. The report is available in print form from various publishers. This audio production is copyright 2019 Amazon Studios, all rights reserved. The duplicating, uploading, and distribution of this audiobook without permission is prohibited. Thank you for listening.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.